Welcome back to Real Estate and You. I'm your host, Scott Allison. Claire, thank you for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We've got a lot of questions.
We do.
A couple of them. And one that's real, real prevalent right now. Let's talk about, and you're familiar with this for your past career in the insurance business.
Correct. Homeowners insurance.
The CLUE report.
Yes. The CLUE report, it will let any buyer or seller go back in and see what kind of insurance claims and how much has been paid out on a home that you're thinking about purchasing. Well, that comes in real handy as far as roofs go. If you don't know if there was previous damage on there, say the other homeowner got paid for hail damage, did not replace the roof, then they would have to, it would be their liability to make sure that the roof is replaced before you purchase the house.
Let me tell you the experience I've had with it, and I didn't even know there was such a thing until, and not this past hail storms we've had, which I think a lot of roofs got replaced, but I'm going to go back probably about 10 years. And for whatever reason, we had a pretty good hail storm, and especially in the Southland area. I can't tell you how many houses I went to. Folks, I'm going to tell you this, and years and years ago, there wasn't a CLUE report, but there has been for at least the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I went to enlist a house, and we have a little form that says, have you got any insurance money? And somebody goes, well, yeah, I got some money. I said, well, how much did you get from the insurance company? And true story,
yep.
I said, and he goes, $8,000. I said, okay, did you put the roof on? He goes, no, my roof's fine.
Yeah.
I said, okay, have you ever got a check from an insurance company, or from anybody really, but from an insurance company for $8,000 for nothing?
No.
Okay, here's what's going to happen, folks. In fact, he even told me, he goes, well, I've spent that money. We went to Rio Dosa skiing. So let me tell you how this is going to work. The people that are buying your house, they're going to get insurance. That insurance company is going to pull a CLUE report up, and they're going to know it's supposed to have a new roof.
Yes.
Because that roof is damaged.
Correct.
Or you wouldn't have got paid. Which means you got to put a new roof on, or they're not going to be able to get insurance, which if they can't get insurance, they're not going to buy your house.
You can't sell a house that can't get insured.
The CLUE report, that's a huge, huge deal, and that was one of our questions, what's the CLUE report? So I think you did a good job of explaining it.
Well, and it's not only just for roofs. I mean, you can go back
water
and see.
Damage.
Water damage is a big deal, you know, because it's hidden in the walls. You want to make sure. So if they've had any kind of plumbing leak, you can go back and see how much they were paid on that as well.
Ironically, and this has changed over the years too, our next question, if I have a water leak, should I just fix it, or should I turn it into insurance?
I guess that's your call. But
I'm going to say years ago, if it wasn't a major, major water leak, I wouldn't turn it into insurance. I would fix it and take care of it. Because if you had so many water leaks, you would get kind of like an insurance black cloud on you.
Exactly.
And that's not a good thing.
It's just like having too many wrecks in a car.
Yes.
If you have too many claims on a house, it's going to have a bad stigma. And then you also might want to check because there are certain companies that don't cover certain water damages, water problems.
And I'm just telling you, in San Angelo, folks, love our town, love our people. Our water, it seems to be real corrosive for whatever reason it is. Water heaters, will water heaters go out in San Angelo, Texas?
Oh, did they?
Absolutely.
A couple of years at best.
You know, well, and it is. And is it can it leak in? Because it be, especially if you're out of town or something. So be covered. But yes, that's a different one.
It's not if it's going to break, it's when.
We've answered this question before, but title policies. Let me just tell you exactly. Let me do a little quick one here. An attorney does an attorney's opinion. Okay? So if you go to any of our, and we have some really good real estate attorneys in San Angelo. If you go to any of those and they do an opinion, and they're going to think if there's a cloud on the title, which is something bad,
mm-hmm.
or not. If then they turn that into the title company, and the title company issues a title policy, that is basically an insurance policy on that attorney's opinion. So if something's wrong, or the attorney missed something, or for whatever happened, you know, you're covered. That means that the title company or that insurance policy is going to take care of that issue for you. When some lost nephew of the niece's second cousin says, I have a piece of your house, that's not a problem for you anymore.
It's up to the title company to fix it.
And it's like any insurance. I don't know a single person, myself included, that likes writing a check every month for insurance.
No.
But I know if you have a car wreck, health issues, whatever, you're tickled pink you have insurance.
Yes.
You know, it's one of those things, and you hope you never, ever need it. But if you do need it, it's especially on something as valuable as your home. You know, that's a huge, huge issue. Reading this abstract. Okay. Haven't seen them in years. I used to go to the title company, and it kind of dates myself, but people would bring their old abstracts.
Okay.
You don't even see, you've probably never heard of it.
I was going to say, that's news to me.
Yeah. Before.
I've never seen one.
And in fact, the question is, do I need to keep my abstract and pass it on? I can tell you, that's from somebody that bought their house 15, 20 years ago. Most people don't even have their abstracts anymore. They were kind of neat to read through, just the history of the property. But a lot of everything now is on the computers and the technology, or it's down at the courthouse where it's filed, so you can go through it there. So the answer is no, you don't really have to have your abstract. And I haven't had one asked for in the last 20 years.
I haven't seen one.
But more paper survey. Big deal on surveys. There's a lot of good questions today. Recently, in the past few years, we've been allowed to use, and this is up to the lender. The lender can say no. If the lender says no, you have to get a new survey. But if the lender says okay, you can use your survey. But here's the criteria. If you've added a carport, or if you've added a garage, or you've made some changes.
If there's anything, including a sidewalk, that has been added in concrete that is permanently attached to the property, you have to have a new survey.
Right, if it's been changed. And she made a point to make there, a very good point, by the way. What if I add a building, one of those skid buildings that are portable?
It doesn't count. Because you can pick it up and move it.
In fact, I tied all these questions together on purpose. This is our next one. If I get a portable building, how close to the property line can I put it?
I think 7 feet. No.
Okay, kind of a trick question. I kind of got you there. Well, your neighbor may not appreciate it, so you may not want to put it too close. But if it's portable, you can put it close, like right there.
Okay, because it's not permanent. If it's permanent.
5 feet.
5 feet, okay.
And also, you're going to get into some restrictions, and you want to check with the permits office and make sure you know everything's right. You can only occupy so much space of your lot. And in a two-story home, this is another thing. People don't understand it. That second story, which I don't agree with this, folks, but it does, that square footage counts on your overall lot usage. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Because it doesn't make sense, does it?
No, so that limits the amount of space that you can use in your yard because you have a two-story house.
That is
correct.
That
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but it's there. So,
okay.
But always check. Be safe. Better safe than sorry. Check with the permits office. You know, take your plans down there. Show them what you're thinking. If it's permanent. If it's not permanent, you should be good to go. But you might want to check. When I say good to go, be careful. Watch what you say. I know in certain parts of Southland, there's deed restrictions that apply to those houses, which if you have a portable building, it has to be of same like kind of the house.
And so same it's most brick, of the, same material.
So that'd be kind of hard to have portable, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Also restrictions. I'm going over on the restrictions. RV. What about RVs?
I believe you're not allowed to park them in your driveway.
There'll be deed restrictions, and I know in Southland there are. I believe in Bentwood there's a time frame, how long you can keep them there. So I'm going to tell you this, folks. We have sold houses, literally sold a property because the people had a beautiful RV.
Yes.
And bought it because it had RV parking, and it was approved, and they had the shade and the cover and all that for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my buddy Lance just bought him one.
Yes.
I'm still joking him about it. But and he just said, Scott, I looked over it. He had a hard time finding a covered spot to rent
to
park
it,
you know, to keep it out of the weather.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is important. If RVs are, and there's, you know, obviously you can drive down Bryant and see the RV lots.
Yes.
There is a lot of RV lovers in the town. So, I'm connected to this next one. Workshops. A lot of folks, real, real important. Always, always, always check your deed restrictions. Because you don't want to build something and then come back and say, you're not allowed to build that here and make you tear it down.
Yeah.
And there are limitations, again, on the size of the lot. There's also places where you can have shops. You know, Brandon, we just sold a nice house to him. And I'm going to tell you, one of the main reasons he bought the house
was for the shop.
Was because it had an awesome, which I'd love the shop, too.
Oh, yeah.
Put his toys in, have his little work stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a neat, neat deal. I think most men, I'm being sexy, but I think most men would love to have a big old shop.
Well, it's the garage for the men and the kitchen for the women, so we can be as sexist as we want. Yeah. That's just the way it is.
It kind of is.
It really is.
So, I mean, it works that way. Okay, now I'll read this, people. I don't know what they're... I'm not sure. You may have to redo this one for me, but on the square footage... Okay, I'm guessing on this question is there are limitations on square footage, and you'll see certain subdivisions... If you notice, if you go to Southland Hills, for example, where it starts, where you have Rockbrook, Timber Ridge, Kiso Canyon, you'll see the houses get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Because as it started, they increased the square footage requirement. So the minimum square foot would be like 2,000.
Yes.
Or 2,100. Where like you get to Oak Mountain, some of those houses are huge.
Yeah.
And I think the minimum square footage was like 2,800. 20,
yeah, 28, 27.
So yes, there are minimum square footages. When a developer puts in a subdivision... he has to abide by the city codes. You know, how the city says He'll have it approved from the planning department, the plat, and all that kind of stuff to make sure they did it the right way with the right roads, the right curbs, all that kind of stuff. The lots were satisfactory to the city's approval. But, and there's always a but, he can go in and add some deed restrictions. And I say he, they, she, them, the developers can. I'll tell you one thing. When Lance and I were doing part of Southland, which at the time we got some flack from the builders, but we put an 8 and 12 pitch. You know what 8 and 12 pitch is?
Yes, yes, your roof, how steep your roof is.
Where that was kind of new. But I'll say, if you go to the newer part of Grandview and Clearview, Stone Canyon, those.
They're real.
Those houses are beautiful.
Yes, they're beautiful. And the roofs have a very high pitch. And
I give Ted Hume credit, one of our builders. He kind of brought that to San Angelo. And the reason people don't want to do a high pitch roof is real simple.
Money.
It's costs a lot more money. You know, I think it's a personal preference. I personally love them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. But anyway, that's what that is. Another good example here. What sells better, tall ceilings or low ceilings?
Tall ceilings sell better. Okay. They're not more efficient, okay, per se, but they sell better.
That was my first answer, too. But over years, let me tell you what I've learned.
Okay.
I walk in, I'm going to be honest, I like a tall ceiling, too. I think it just is a wow. You
know, it makes the room look bigger, it just makes it look classier.
And I actually took a real estate class, and they were talking about different people's personalities. You know, they had the tiger, the owl, and the bull, you know, and all the different personalities. Well, mine obviously was the tiger, because I walk in, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, look at this tall, how awesome is that? Put a big old chandelier there, put the lights, oh my God, this is perfect. And he said, well, but you're not the only top buyer, Scott. Let's take what they call an owl personality, which is why owls have more money than the tiger personality.
They walk in and they're smart enough to know, this is going to cost me more money.
Wait a minute, I've got to heat and cool that area up there that I'm not even using. And I thought, oh, I never even thought about that. So the deal is, you need to ask and see what person, what they're looking for. Somebody says, you know what, here's my budget, here's what I want to do. I don't need that area up there. I can look just fine, you know, straight ahead, and I'm not going to heat and cool that area. So
they're looking for a more
efficient
house.
I did kind of set you up on that, because I feel for the same thing. And I said, oh, no, man, I want the tall ceilings. And they're more expensive. Mm-hmm. So it's a personal taste, and it's a personal, I guess it's your personality even, of what you want, what you don't want. Different things.
For sure.
Now, this is another trick question, and I'm going to lean one way.
Quit tricking me.
Do townhouses sell as well as regular houses?
I don't believe so.
And I'm going
to... You have to have a special need for a townhouse. If you've got a large family, you want a yard. If you have big animals, pets, you want a yard. And a townhome doesn't necessarily come with a big enough yard to support all that. So it has to be, just like any house, it has to be suited to the right person.
I'm going to agree with Claire the fact that a townhouse is more of a specialty,
mm-hmm.
and the more specialty you get, the more you diminish the amount of buyers.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also going to say in San Angelo, Texas, see how I do that flip-flop on you? We have two groups. We have a lot of the younger generation
who have
no desire for a yard, mm-hmm. no time, no thing. You know, they want to do their little quick, boom, boom, boom.
They don't want a 4,000 square foot house they have to maintain and clean and pay for.
And we have an older generation that says, we're not going to do the maintenance. Yeah. You know, we're going to go travel. We're going to have fun. So, yeah, I'm going to still agree with you. Probably so, a house would be easier. But I'm going to say a nice townhouse in San Angelo, Texas is very, very sellable.
Very much.
And if you look at what Tony Jones has done over there behind the Sam's and Walmart,
uh-huh.
which Tony's one of my favorite builders, builds a great product, you know, he sold the heck out of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I'm going to say this one I definitely have an opinion on. Two bedrooms or three bedrooms? By the way, about seven of these questions came from one lady.
Three bedrooms.
I'm going to definitely say three, because I'm even going to say right now, how many calls have we had for four-bedroom homes?
Oh, a bunch.
And there's not a lot of them.
We have a very few available right now.
And a lot of people say, well, we don't need a four-bedroom home. Well, but they say, yeah, I want to have an office in my house. So they would like that extra bedroom for it. I'm definitely going to say... a three-bedroom home is easier to sell than a two-bedroom home.
For sure.
You know, it is. And one lesson we've learned, because we've got a couple of these houses, bathrooms. How important are bathrooms?
Extremely important. A three-bedroom, one bath is going to be a little harder to sell than a three-bedroom, two bath.
Well, we've had, like you said, we have two houses, and we said, why didn't it sold? And the only thing I can pinpoint is it's a three-bedroom, one bath. So I think maybe in a two-bedroom, one-bath, it may not be as crucial. But on
a three-bedroom.
So you got three different people sharing, or maybe even four.
Exactly. Mom and dad, two kids sharing one bathroom. That wouldn't work for me.
That wouldn't work for a lot of people. But, you know, of course, we're spoiled. We're all spoiled now.
Yes.
If you think it wasn't that long ago, and you look at the closets, you know, now you have closets the size of people's bedrooms. Before, you had a little bitty closet because you didn't have all these clothes.
It wasn't even a walk-in. It was just a stick. Yeah. Open the door and stick it in.
So things have changed. But, folks, I'm definitely going to say what we've watched over the years. A four-bedroom house. Now, of course, the size of the rooms matter and stuff like that.
Yes.
Three-bedroom and then a two-bedroom. And a one-bedroom, there's not very many one-bedrooms. But
no. But if you're looking for a three-bedroom, you could always make a four-bedroom work. But if you need to have a four-bedroom, you're not going to make a three-bedroom work. So, just again, it's going to be just suited especially for the family that needs it.
Okay. Well, still got more questions. But I want to get a plug in real quick for our K&A development out there on 2288.
Okay.
Talk to Verizon. Nice, nice lady. And I'm probably saying this wrong, but for the commercial development, they're going over and above. They're going to put an Ethernet cable. I think I said that right.
Yes.
But where it's really cool, like for especially the big companies,
mm-hmm.
like there's a couple of companies here that we know that they have their own internet. You know, mm-hmm. they don't go through Verizon or they don't go through, or not Verizon, but Suddenlink or West Central or whatever like we do.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have a dedicated line for their internet. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you had a bunch of people working in computers and stuff.
Sure.
So I think that's a cool advantage. You know, we've already got six of those under contract.
Wow.
That means 12 left.
Yep.
And I hadn't even got the pave down. We're still waiting in line for Reese Albert to get us in and get some asphalt for the county road out there.
It's awesome.
So, folks, if we have, again, remember, you can go to sallison.com with any of your questions. Email us, text us, call me, whatever you want to do. If I don't know the answer, I'll get somebody that does, and we'll get it answered for you to help you with any of your real estate needs. We sure appreciate you listening. Have a great day.